Before I forget, happy Father's Day. I know it's easy to forget what day we're on or what we're celebrating. Happy Mother's Day. I didn't get to say happy Mother's Day to a lot of mothers just a month ago. So happy belated Mother's Day and a happy Father's Day. Father's Day is always a pretty special day for me just because my mom divorced when I was really, really little. And so she had two little boys and she's trying to raise us in those very early years. And I have no recollection of my real dad at all, but my mom remarried and my stepdad has been a blessing, a godsend. And so I'm always thankful for the way that God can redeem all kinds of situations, a situation that could have been a mess, but God redeemed it and has used it for his glory. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 23. We've been going through the Psalm 23 passage for quite a few weeks now. I know not everybody has watched the messages as we've went along, Sylvia. I know I'm trying to give Sylvia a hard time about watching the online videos, and maybe she'll get around to it. As you make your way there, let me just point out the obvious in saying that this year has not been like any other year by any stretch of the imagination. There are a good number of years where the years of my life are so similar that I couldn't tell you the difference between them. So like 2012, if you were to say 2012 and 2013, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you what the difference between those years was. I couldn't tell you anything special or significant unless I sat and thought about it. But if you tell me 2020, you know, 10 years from now, if you bring up 2020, I'm going to remember a lot of things that happened in this year. The reason that many years blend together is because you and I and a lot of people have a routine and a rhythm as you go through a year. Certain things you do at certain points in the year that create a natural flow as you go through it. And that flow for this year has been greatly disturbed to the point that for a good number of people, it's really easy to forget what day of the week it is. And so for me, working at Beth Shan and filling in over there, it at least keeps my routine in some degree. Oh, so over that month, what seemed to me like for April, it seemed like April lasted about 3 months, and then May was a blur, and then now here we are towards the middle of June. So I don't know where all of that went. The natural flow for my normal year centers around some of the extra events I have outside of church stuff. So church maintains a certain level of routine from week to week, but then I have other events that I help with through the year. In February, I had the Sterling Invitational Bible Quiz Tournament, which I direct, and so I was able to have that in February. May, Celebrate Life at Olivet, I coach basketball. Nope, didn't get to do that. July, Everyone Cares Camp, canceled. We're going to try and do some other things in place of it to have resources for the campers, but no EC camp this year. And then in October, we have a Quiz Fest, another tournament that I direct. And that one, we're probably not going to be doing that as well. So until 2020 is over, I'm not going to get back into any kind of a routine. Perhaps you have a routine as you go through your year. When it comes to the holidays that we celebrate, in many ways, they mark off your year as you go through it. And there's certain holidays you celebrate with certain family members, Memorial Day, Easter, 4th of July, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. So if you have a routine for what you do and what you celebrate, those things help you along. When it comes to Psalm 23, which we've been working our way through, for quite a few weeks now, we are reading our way through the year, a year in the life of sheep. Hello. There's a natural and regular occurrence when it comes to the life of sheep and shepherds as they move from one season to the next. As they make their yearly journey from their home base where they live for part of the year. And then those sheep and shepherds make their way to a summer grazing land that the shepherd has lovingly prepared for the sheep he loves. So go ahead and stand as I read from Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. the word of the Lord this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. After having been guided along paths and after having walked through valleys, after arriving at the place where the shepherd has promised and prepared a place for his sheep for summer grazing, the lessons that we can learn from the life of sheep are not finished. Warm weather brings with it new sets of challenges, and one of those challenges has to do with the arrival of an assortment of insects. I don't know about you, but the arrival of the cicadas has not been something I have been celebrating. On the back corner of the house, the wind and the storms have blown them off, but there for a couple days on the back wall of the house were cicada shells just covering the whole backside. And then there was a tree right near the corner that was literally hundreds and hundreds of shells working their way up into the tree. Cicadas were everywhere. A week ago, I was watering my plants, and one of those plants, I didn't realize it, but it had an alarm to it. So I'm watering a plant. I had a bunch of cabbages. I'd water one. Water it, move to the next, water the next, and then I hit one and it started buzzing at me. And it wasn't the cabbage, it was a cicada that was in there. So I'm watering, I hear this buzzing noise, and I stop, and then one crawls out on the leaf to look at me like, you know, good morning to you as well. So I thought I had an alarm clock on the cabbage, but nope. Just the other day I had another insect that was, I don't even know what it was. I was doing yard work and I felt a sting on my leg, and I was doing the weed eater and I thought something had hit my leg from the weed eater, but then it kept stinging, and then I realized it was some insect. I don't even know what it was. I knocked it away and it started flying around and I couldn't tell what it was, but I've got a nice little red spot on my leg. So the insects are coming out in all sorts of ways. We had a flock of seagulls that took over the neighbor's yard because of the cicadas. They were swarming in for a delicatessen, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. I asked my neighbor, I'm like, why? I told him to stop feeding the seagulls. He's like, I'm not. I'm trying not to. It's the cicadas. This past week, I've also noticed the arrival of lightning bugs. A lot of people posting online the arrival of the lightning bugs. A few weeks ago, we noticed the mosquitoes start to come in and agitate. On Friday, and then I mentioned on Friday, I was using the weed eater with that. Warm weather is the arrival of pests that sheep have to deal with, and so they need to worry about a variety of things. And so we have warble flies, heel flies, nose flies, deer flies, black flies, gnats, and other winged parasites that impact the lives of sheep. All of those things, and that's a bot fly right there, all of those things creating discomfort and agitation for sheep. And if you really want to make your skin crawl, I know some of you have been using the YouTube and watching the YouTube videos. If you do a search for botfly videos, you will come across some videos that will really disturb you to watch. They'll make your skin crawl. There are people in this world who have an abnormal fascination with things that gross most people out, and my mother is one of those people. And then I inherited it, that fascination from her. And that's why you have things on television like Dr. Pimple Popper. There's people who hear that show and they're like, why in the world would anybody watch that show? Well, there are people like my mom and myself and others who just have a weird fascination with that sort of thing. And so there's other wonderfully weird people I know that watch shows like that and who might be curious about videos about bot flies. The agitation for sheep can get so bad with bot flies that they will beat their own head against trees or rocks to try to get that horrible sensation taking place in their nostrils to get it to stop. It's also during the warmer season when skin parasites start to appear, which can cause severe forms of scabbing. In Scripture, when it talks about lambs without blemish or defect, for the most part, that's referencing the scabbing condition that can happen with a sheep's skin. It's extremely contagious. Because sheep flock so closely together and because they are often friendly and affectionate with each other, this skin parasite can quickly spread throughout the entire flock. And oftentimes it starts with the sheep's head because that's one of the ways they show affection towards each other is rubbing and bumping their heads against each other. And so this skin parasite will get started on their head and start to scab and then spread further in their body. Towards the end of the summer months, the warm summer months, a new problem emerges that's entirely unrelated to the world of insects and parasites and all of that. And it has to do with the mating season. The ewes go into a new cycle where they are in heat, and that stirs up all of the rams in the flock. Rams with horns that all of a sudden get frisky and territorial, leading to all kinds of direct conflicts with the other rams. pushing and shoving and headbutting, all of which can lead to all kinds of injuries for the sheep and sometimes even death. How in the world is a shepherd supposed to care for his sheep as they encounter a variety of issues like those? Wouldn't it be nice if a shepherd had one answer that could solve all of those problems? Perhaps you've already seen this guy. Maybe you've watched the movie. It's one of my favorite movies, and it's one of the, was that one of our first date movies, hon, to go see My Big, was that the first one? First time going on a movie date. My Big Fat Greek Wedding. If you've ever watched that movie, I would highly recommend it. It's a very comical romance type movie. And in that movie, a guy by the name of Ian Miller, it's Ian, but they keep calling him Ian Miller, and he falls in love with a homely Greek gal, and he gets introduced to her big fat Greek family. And Gus, the guy on the screen, is the patriarch of that family, and he's extremely proud of his heritage. He firmly believes that every word, every single word, has its origins in the Greek language. Even words like kimono, it was one of the scenes that was really funny. Yeah, even kimono, yes, it has Greek roots to it. And along with that, Gus firmly believes that almost every ailment can be cured by spraying some Windex on it. I was thinking about that as I got my bug bite. Maybe I should put some Windex on it. Bug bite, put some Windex on it. Pimple, put some Windex on it. You got a burn, put some Windex on it. Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. Perhaps you know someone who has their own tried and true remedies that they use for a variety of ailments. For a shepherd who loves his sheep, his remedies in some way, shape, or form all involve oil. There may be a few things specially selected by a shepherd added into the mix, but the primary ingredient bringing relief and protection for his sheep is oil poured over the head of every single sheep. Oil protecting the nostrils so that those vicious botflies cannot lay eggs in the mucous membranes of the sinuses. Oil protecting the vulnerable skin of a sheep's head from getting a contagious parasite. Oil adding a degree of protection to the horns of rams in conflict so that their horns will deflect off of each other after those collisions. The more easily they can slide and deflect, the less damage and cracking or other injuries when all is said and done. Oil is a multi-purpose resource for a shepherd who cares for his sheep. When it comes to the good shepherd taking care of his beloved children, he does not spray us with Windex to take care of our ailments. He does not pour a special recipe of oil over our heads for the nose flies and all that sort of stuff. The multi-purpose thing which God uses, the multi-purpose resource that God pours over the lives of his children is grace. He pours out his grace and it transforms our lives. Life is filled with a variety of challenges that can and will rob you of joy if you let it. And the thing that we need more than anything to protect our ability to be joyful is the grace that comes only from God. It's impossible to have a cup that is full and running over if your cup has holes in it. And there are things in life that, if left untreated, will drill holes into your cup and your cup will continually empty. There are probably a variety of ways to break down these joy-robbing things into basic categories, and I'm going to do it in this way: agitation, contamination, and confrontation. Agitation relating to those annoying insects, contamination for the contagious scabbing, and confrontation for those head-on collisions we have with others. Have you ever had an experience when something or someone got under your skin? How many of you want to freely confess that at times it has been your pastor right here? You can raise your hand. I warned Sylvie in advance, like, be ready to raise your hand. Your pastor is obnoxious and annoying at times. We have to be honest about it because we know that it's true. There are times when people and situations get underneath our skin. There may be people in this world who are oblivious to the fact that they are obnoxious, but that is not me. I am fully aware of my ability to get under people's skin, and that is not a spiritual gift. Hopefully, you are just aware of the times and circumstances where maybe you are the one that gets under the skin of others. There are a variety of personalities, and some personalities just do not work well together. And that's not a sin issue, that's just a personality issue. And what we have to be mindful of as Christians are those times when minor agitations grow and fester and become larger agitations than they need to be. Times when a person or a situation has you agitated to the point that you want to go and beat your head against a rock to make it stop. On the front end of those relationships and those circumstances, we need the grace of Christ to protect us from those agitations taking root and growing and festering in our heads. Because that's where those agitations really exist. It's in our minds. When our minds dwell on things longer than we should be dwelling on them. When our minds start to form a particular attitude towards others or about others because of something they did or something they said that caused an agitation. When our minds start to spoil future interactions with certain people in advance because in our minds we're already dreading having to interact with them. In a world filled with agitation opportunities, we need the grace of Christ to protect our minds and preserve our joy. Another set of life experiences that can and will rob us of our joy without the protective qualities of grace being poured over our lives is the contamination of sin. When it comes to talking about sin, I think it's always more helpful of a conversation when people think first and foremost of their own sin in personal ways. It's far too easy for our mind to drift outward and think about the sins of the world that we've never even struggled with, instead of drifting inward towards the sins we have dealt with, encountered, and struggled with. Sin is contagious. It has always been contagious. It will only and always be contagious until God comes and it's all entirely defeated. So long as you live in this world, you will always need a fresh anointing of God's grace as you head out into this world. As people just a few months into a pandemic, who are socially distanced in the church pew where you're at right now, and I'm just making sure everybody's good. As people a few months into a pandemic who are socially distanced in a church pew, you should all be more than just a little bit familiar with how contagious virus gets in the way of people being able to be close to one another. When it comes to a virus, the closer you get, the more vulnerable you become. A shepherd who knows his sheep knows that his sheep need to be together. A shepherd knows that his sheep need to be able to rub heads and physically express themselves in intimate ways. A scabbing parasite makes that close proximity dangerous, but the oil poured over the sheep's head makes it where the sheep can be with the flock, but not be contaminated by things that might be in the flock. In much the same way, the grace of Jesus allows you to be extremely close in proximity to the world without becoming of the world and catching what the world spreads. There are people, Christian people, who have such a fear of contamination of sin that they've been living their lives 6 feet away from the world for years. While we've been practicing social distancing from people for a few months, in my heart, I feel like there are degrees to which the church has been practicing social distancing from the world for much, much longer. As I see it, a Christian insisting on living a socially distant life apart from the world because of the fear of contamination does not understand the power of God's anointing grace. Jesus was up close and personal with this world, and at the same time, Jesus was not remotely concerned about inadvertently catching something along the way, inadvertently catching contagious sin from the people he ate and drank with. He just wasn't concerned with that. And ultimately, he became the Lamb without a single blemish or defect. He rubbed elbows with tax collectors and sinners. Meanwhile, the Pharisees sat at a safe distance, appalled at what Jesus was doing, looking at Jesus like he was out there licking the push handles of the shopping carts at Walmart, where he would most definitely get COVID at some point because he was being reckless. Jesus wasn't being reckless. Jesus wasn't ignorant about who he was with. Jesus wasn't ignorant about how contagious sin is. Jesus was full of grace and truth and walked in the midst of the world with confidence. And lastly, another category of experiences that can steal your joy apart from the anointing of grace are those situations when you encounter confrontation. Conflicts happen. People will always disagree about something at some time. And it's when you have those confrontations without grace that you end up with unnecessary casualties. The number of stories of people I've heard just in my lifetime who changed churches or who stopped going to church altogether because of a conflict is staggering. conflicts with the pastor, conflicts with other churchgoers. And when the dust settles, someone gets to stay and someone else gets to go because they can't possibly coexist as a part of the same flock because of a conflict. Just this past week, Laura and I sat in on a Zoom service. So last Sunday, we had a church service that was for a friend of ours, and they were celebrating new members of their church. A family that had been a part of the Church of Nazarene years ago and who had been faithfully serving the church. And then something happened, a confrontation, a conflict. I don't have the foggiest clue what the details of their experience was, but I'll bet you anything, like any other conflict that happens in a church anywhere, it probably could have used a lot more grace in some form or fashion. I'm thankful that at least God's grace brought a level of healing for this family over time that brought them back to the church, when many times people don't come back. People will hold on to their bumps and their bruises and their grudges from a confrontation deep in their past, long, long ago, to the point that and then they'll point back to that as the reason why, that's why I'm not a part of the church. Most situations could use more grace on both sides. How we deal with confrontations in the body of Christ matters significantly. Confrontations happen in the world all the time, and the church needs to do better than the world when it comes to the cliques and the backbiting and the yelling and the stubbornness that our world displays all the time when people butt heads. When it comes to confrontation, the Apostle Paul had to deal with that a lot. Whether it was issues with the Jewish leaders or issues with a church that he had started, he had to constantly navigate his way through confrontation. And he didn't exactly have the best, most pleasant personality for dealing with that sort of thing. There are times when passionate people, especially as passionate as he was and as zealous as he was, there are times when passionate people are not as gentle in a situation as the situation may require. And along the way, Paul had to learn about and lean in on the Lord's grace. Earlier, Larry read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in that experience where he talks about his thorn in the flesh, there's a lot of speculation as to what the thorn in the flesh was that bothered Paul for so much and for so long. It really reads like it's a very significant situation that he was struggling. I doubt it was something like riding a camel too slowly in the passing lane in the city. Some suggest that this has to do with the false apostles he mentions previously in a previous chapter. People who were undercutting his work in advancing the gospel, which brought him into conflict with those false apostles over and over again. The more you get worn down, the more you need God's grace to make it through. And God's grace was sufficient for Paul, despite his weaknesses. I don't know about you this morning, but I can always use a fresh anointing of God's grace to help me walk through this world in a way that better reflects Jesus and more fully glorifies the Father. Good luck trying to live that kind of a life with a cup that is empty. If you want a cup that is full and running over, you first need your head to be anointed with oil. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ poured over your life helps you deal with the agitation and the contamination and the confrontation in ways that keeps them from draining your cup of joy. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer, and my good shepherd. Go ahead and stand as we close in song this morning.